Right. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, and that can be found on page 1184 of the Pew Bibles. So Colossians 4, starting at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Father, we do indeed thank you for everything that you have provided for us over this last year. Thank you for the way that you've provided financially, and we thank you for the way that you provide your word and that you teach us and that we can depend upon you. Father, you have never let us down, ever, not least in the last 12 months. And so we pray, Father, as we turn to your word now and as we think about what it means to be church together, and as we look to what will come in the year ahead, Father, grow our trust in you, that you will provide out of your great abundance, your abundance in creation and redemption. So feed us, Heavenly Father, through your word, without which we cannot live, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Stewardship gives us an opportunity to step back and take a brief but wider look at our life together as a Christian church. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about an idea I've been mulling over for a while. It came to me when I was in a testing situation and had to give an answer. And this is the answer that kind of spewed out at the time. It was, if you remember, we were doing the early chapters of 1 Corinthians. Lots of stuff about weakness and foolishness in the eyes of the world in the run-up to Christmas. And also a recent school assembly. And so the idea has been fed in a number of ways, and I've been mulling it over. And the basic idea is that when we as a Christian church are at our healthiest, then we will look at our weakest to the world. That's the basic kind of idea. And that when we are at our healthiest, we'll look at our weakest. When we're doing what we should do, it might look like we're being the least effective. And when we're thriving, it might look like we are stumbling. You should have received a table. I like tables. I don't often give you them because I know not everybody does, but I couldn't resist this morning. So here's a table just to sort of explore this idea. So it's not so much an exposition of a particular passage, but if you want to, you can fill in the table as we go. So what's a healthy church? What is a healthy church doing? Well, firstly, we're praying. We're asking God for things, and we're thanking God for things. In that reading from Colossians, the first command the Lord, the Paul puts in there, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What do you need? What are you thankful for? Be devoted to this. Now, we know what it means to be devoted to things. You might be devoted to a crime thriller series on Netflix. You might be devoted to a book where nobody can get you out of the book. You might be devoted to fitness. You might be devoted to your phone. Do you have to spend so long on your phone? Well, when was the last time somebody said you have to spend so long saying your prayers? Well, devote yourselves to prayer. We know what it means to be devoted to something, so we can easily ask the question, are we devoted to prayer? Would people look at us as a church and say, there is a church devoted to prayer? Well, that's what a healthy church is doing. What's that look like from the outside? What might it look like to somebody who's not a Christian or has no experience of anything Christian? Well, I think it looks a bit weak. We spend so much of our time talking to our invisible friend. We can't even see them. How do we know that they hear us? Looks weak. Might look weak to people watching us do that. It might look ineffective. Well, they're not getting anything done. They're just sitting around with their eyes closed, talking into the air. You can see why it would be a very strange thing to be devoted to somebody looking from outside. Well, what does it mean if we aren't doing it? If we're not devoted to prayer? Well, really, it's a foolish confidence in our own ability, isn't it? We don't need the help. And we don't need to say thank you for everything that we've received. And anyway, God will help us anyway, because he's like that. So we don't actually need to ask him, even though he says, devote yourselves to prayer. A foolish confidence in our own ability, it can lead to an unhealthy activism. I've got to make this work. It can lead to a crushing burden in exactly the same terms. I've got to make this work. And it leads to disappointment when it doesn't work, because we're doing it on our own. Now then, doing things, activism, and carrying responsibility, something of a burden, and learning lessons when things don't work out, they are all good things. But they're not good things when they're done without praying. So let's do verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. A healthy church is also using the Bible. I don't mean by that just reading it, nor really in the normal use of the language, believing it. Not only those things, but using the Bible. Looking for instruction because we know we need wisdom. Knowing that we can't live without it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And knowing that the world needs the same message of the Bible which we hunger after. In that Colossians in some of the verses before, Paul has written, let the message of Christ, the word of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. It's one of the reasons we have psalms, because of that verse. But let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. But not just for ourselves, using the Bible for ourselves, seeking instruction from God for ourselves, but also for those around. Pray for us, Paul says, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Using the Bible for ourselves and for the world. Well, what's that? What might that look like? Well, that might look a bit weak and foolish. Keep deferring to this book? Can't work anything out for ourselves? Always have to turn to this book to know what we think about anything. It might look foolish that we'd trust such an old book. Crumbs, there's a lot been learned in the last 2 millennia, surely, that we might prioritise this book. Well, if not praying is being is a foolish confidence in our own ability, and not using the Bible is a foolish confidence in our own understanding, we'll make do with our own insight, or at least the insight of humankind generally, and we'll proceed apart from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I went on that trip to Bosnia, the bishop sent me on, in effect, back in October, I think it was. We were considering evil, suffering and reconciliation in that desperately torn apart country. And there were lots of insights from other people and lots of insights from humankind generally. But sadly, the Bible was never really brought to bear on that trip. We weren't sitting there seeking the instruction of God in order to understand what we were experiencing and seeing. And to me, to my mind, that's not healthy enough for a Christian church. You can learn lots of useful things. There is plenty of good knowledge in the world, but it's not healthy enough for us because it's a foolish confidence in our own understanding or the understanding of wider humankind. And so as we steward our life as a Christian church, we need to be devoted to prayer and we need to be using the Bible. A healthy church is also submitting to Jesus. That means acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. To put it slightly more provocatively, denying our own rule of our lives and submitting to Him. Denying our own rule of ourselves and submitting to Him as Lord. Knowing that we actually belong to Him. The New Testament tells us you belong to Him. You have been bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Him and therefore we give our life for His purposes. Now, the most common word in the New Testament the word which is often translated servant in the New Testament is actually slave. Because a slave belongs to his master. And Jesus is a good and perfect master. And we do not belong to ourselves, we belong to Him. And so we submit to Him. We give our lives for His purposes. That's what a healthy church is doing. But still in Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Talking to slaves, earthly slaves, a little later on, the apostle writes, asking them to obey their earthly masters and to do it as working for the Lord, chapter 3, verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And similarly to the masters, they must treat their slaves rightly here. Why? Because you know that you also have a master in heaven. So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. Again, this might look weak to the outsider, that we're just not able to stand on our own two feet. We need somebody to stand over us. We're just not able to organise our own lives, to be our own kings, if you like. We just have to have someone else over us. It also makes the world sad when we talk like this, because there's nothing in our day that makes the world more sad than when they see somebody who can't be themselves. Well, we're not to be ourselves. Jesus says, deny yourself. That old, was it Shakespeare? To thine own self be true? Is that Shakespeare? Well, how can I be true to myself? How can I be my own self if I'm actually owned by Christ? A slave of Christ's. See, if we don't submit to Jesus, we have a foolish confidence in our own status and importance. Because we'll say, I am king of me, and Jesus isn't. A healthy church submits to Jesus. And if we're not doing that, then we have a foolish confidence in our own status and importance. Yes, I may go to Jesus when I'm absolutely at the end of myself. But he's not king of whatever I do, whether in word or deed. But he is when we're a healthy local church. Now, I want to tread carefully here. I feel very sorry for Philip Schofield. The media feel very sorry for him and proud of him. And if he were here amongst us this morning, he would need compassion and gentleness from the Christian church. But in the way that we've been thinking, is he not acting like he is Lord? In the sense that he belongs to himself. And so he decides where his desires should be directed. Am I free to decide where my desires should be directed? Take an example. Am I free to decide where my anger should be directed? No, because I'm a slave to Christ. And the Lord tells me in his word that yes, you can be angry about that, but you cannot be angry about that. He directs how I should direct my desires. Am I free to decide where my desire for stuff should be directed? I like stuff. I just want more and more of it. You know, 55,000 sounds great. Am I free to direct my desires for stuff? As I want to know. The Lord tells me that's a worthy desire. That's not. Am I free to decide where my desire for fulfillment in life should be directed? No, I'm told seek first the kingdom of God. And so am I free to decide where my desire for sex should be directed? No. The Lord teaches us how to direct our desires. See, ignoring Jesus the Lord in the end leaves us in a very selfish place. Because I'm king and I satisfy my desires where I want to. I put it to you whether Philip Schofield is not in danger of loving himself more than he loves others. Jesus doesn't teach us to do that. Not submitting to Jesus gives us a foolish confidence in our own status and importance. Rather, let us, in whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Finally, a healthy church is making sacrifices for one another. Now, this is a two-way street, because if we make sacrifices for somebody, then that somebody has to receive that service that we're offering. And I want to think about receiving in the first place, mainly. People make sacrifices for us. How are we at receiving the service of others? It's a given in the New Testament that we'll have to serve one another. Therefore, people must be willing to be served, to receive the service of others. Well, of course, that looks straightforwardly weak in the eyes of the world. These people, these Christians, they can't get through life without the constant help of other people. They're always depending on one another in order to get through life. So what does it mean when we won't be served? Well, it's a foolish confidence in our own resources, isn't it? It's a foolish confidence that I don't need help. That I could be, what we're really saying in that sense is that I could be just as effective a Christian without any other Christians ever coming anywhere near me. That's what that means. I put it to you, not even God is that independent. Because he's three persons together. We need one another. I need you. Do you think I'm on this kind of sort of, I don't know, that I just carry on in the Christian life, independent, and that's what vicars are supposed to do because they're the vicar? I need Christian fellowship and the encouragement which you give and the way that you serve me. And we need to receive the service of one another. That's part of a healthy Christian church. Once we realise that direction on this street, I think we're encouraged to go in the other direction as well, and actually to make the sacrifices and serve one another. Because I know I can't get through without your service of me, and that encourages me to serve you also. You can read about this in Colossians as well. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. To make the sacrifices to come, to love, to serve one another. I wonder why you bothered to come to church this morning. I wonder if it was because you knew you needed each other. And the other side of that coin, it's a two-way street, because you knew you needed to serve each other. We all need each other. We need you. You need us. Now, if we've put all worldly thinking to one side as Christians, of course we're going to look weak in the eyes of those who still think that way. If we've put aside focusing on earthly things, then people who focus on earthly things will not grasp why we pray and use the Bible and submit to Jesus and make sacrifices. Well, that's what Paul encourages us to do at the beginning of that chapter. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What does that look like? It looks like praying, using the Bible, submitting to Jesus, and making sacrifices for one another. So there's a vision on our stewardship day. There's a vision for church life together. Now, the testing situation where this first sort of spewed out of my mouth in answer to a question, I was before a panel of people, and they'd given me half an hour to prepare a 10-minute presentation on what was the Church of England's biggest problem. So this is what I told them. A loss of confidence that this is enough for the Christian church. That this is healthy Christian presence and witness. And I think the other side, a fear of looking weak in the eyes of the world. We don't want to look weak. But healthy Christian church looks weak in the eyes of the world. All that praying, all that old book stuff, all that refusing to listen to anybody in front of Jesus, and all that having people make sacrifices and service and not being able to cope otherwise. But it is precisely out of that bedrock that we will find, and the Christian church has always found, that opportunities for evangelism grow. Remember Jesus said, out of your love for one another, people will know that you're my disciples. It's out of this bedrock, this healthy Christian life, that opportunities for evangelism grow, opportunities to serve beyond the church family grow. It's out of this bedrock that giving grows in Christians. It's out of this bedrock that we grow as Christians. Praying for his help, thirsting for his word, honouring him in the world, in all we say and do, tending to each other in love. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, according to the wisdom of your word, may we not fear looking weak, but rather rejoice in being healthy, healthy disciples of our Lord Jesus. And so we pray, Father, with whatever challenges lie in the finances, whatever programs we have and things we want to do, and Father, these all need addressing. But in all of them, Heavenly Father, as we go forward together as your people in this place, may we be devoted to prayer, using your word, submitting to your Son, our Lord, and serving one another wholeheartedly. Father, we've confessed our sins today. We've said we've not loved you as we should, and we've not loved our neighbours as we should. Thank you for your forgiveness. Pour out your Spirit on us to transform our hearts, that we would love what you would love, and so grow in these things. Father, there is a selfishness in this prayer because you've opened our eyes. We know this is good for us, but it is also the means by which you receive greater honour in the world. And we long, Heavenly Father, for you to receive the honour that you deserve, you and the Lamb on the throne. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.